It's Morning Edition on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. For years now, we've heard Atlanta is one of the nation's top destinations for young professionals who are transforming the planning that political and economic leaders have to do. But now, the business publication Forbes is out with a list that ranks Atlanta as the American city with the fastest aging population. So what will that mean? Dr. Heidi Ewan studies both aging and demographics. She is an assistant professor at the University of Georgia's College of Family and Consumer Sciences and also the College of Public Health. Dr. Ewan joins us from Athens. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Are you surprised, first of all, that we're seeing Atlanta as the fastest aging city as opposed to the city where we already have the most aging residents?
I'm not really surprised by that. It's been known for some time that Georgia is going to be a migration destination for older people, in part because of its location. It has mountains, it has oceans, it has arts, entertainment, culture, history. That and plenty of the other destinations are saturated right now with older people, so they're looking to find alternate.
Now, you just used the term destinations, which is really an important thing to clarify because a city can have an aging population just because of the people who are already there. But you're saying Atlanta is rapidly aging because people are moving in.
That's correct. Some of the cities, like New York City, for example, they would have an aging population because people have moved in there and they've aged in place, and so the whole community is aging together. But what we see happening in Atlanta is an influx of people who are post-retirement and are looking for amenities. These are not the Sun Belt seniors, the ones who are moving for 6 months in the wintertime and then going back north during the summer. We're talking about people who are moving into this area and they're staying for a considerable period of time. They're looking for places where they can be active and engaged. They can be free from maintaining a larger home. They're looking for good weather, and Atlanta has all of that to offer.
So they're attracted by some of the same things the millennials are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Atlanta's been growing for millennials for some time now. You know, there are so many different occupations that are growing there in the Atlanta metro area. I suspect that many of these older folks are actually migrating into the Atlanta region because their millennial children are now married and having children of their own. They're established in their careers, whereas the 65-plus population are entering retirement, and this is a good place for them to come to be involved in their grandchildren's lives.
So you might not think at first that, oh, the millennials and the seniors would go together, but they do.
They do, yes, very much so.
What are the implications then for political and public health and economic planners here? Because Atlanta's infrastructure, at least in most areas, especially once you get out of the city, really isn't conducive to the kinds of things we just talked about, you know, being able to be in your community and being able to walk and all that sort of thing.
There are a number of implications there. I think the first thing we think of when we talk about the older population is healthcare. But what we see happening in most cases are the folks who are moving right now are post-retirement. They're very healthy. They're active people. If they're able to move, then that's another index of how healthy they are. Atlanta has a big draw in part because there are a number of university systems there. There are good hospitals that have accreditation that are able to meet the needs as they should arise. Also, Atlanta is attractive because of the tax base. There's a lot less tax going on, but they also bring in revenue. So if they're younger and they're healthier and they're active, they bring money in to those communities that keep them vital. What tends to happen in this particular population, there's a developmental model that researchers use, and I've used myself, that show that when we have folks who are moving after retirement, they tend to stay, you know, 5 or 10 years, and then once their health begins to decline or they become widowed, they do a return migration. They call it a compensatory migration. And they go back to the areas where they have lived a great proportion of their lives, where they're familiar with the physicians and the community and their friends are there, usually extended family. So there's a good chance that the ones who are migrating into Atlanta now may not stay to the point where they need extensive health care.
that's assuming, of course, that, as we were talking about before, the kids haven't moved here themselves.
Correct.
But then you also have low-income seniors who live here anyway, and that population is growing, and so the planners have to somehow figure out how many people they're going to have in combination, the people who aged here and the people who are moving in and might or might not move out again.
That's correct. In terms of places where they are living, a lot of the lower-income folks, they're aging in their own homes where their homes are paid for. They may be participating in reverse mortgages, which will give them a little bit more cash to be able to afford transportation services and what they might need. But Atlanta is also exploding in growth of retirement housing, where they have these independent living apartment communities. Many of those have contracts with home health care agencies where they'll come in and they'll bring in services for the folks who are planning to age in place as they need them.
But doesn't this fact that you're talking about, this kind of through migration, really make it difficult to plan the scale and the types of facilities that are needed to meet the needs of a population when you don't necessarily know who's going to stay and for how long?
That's absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. That's something that the government needs to be mindful of and they need to watch to see. I think the Forbes article was a really good attention grabber to say, hey, we're not prepared for this at this point. But at the same time, we know that within the coming 15 years, we're going to have a very top-heavy older population anyway. So I don't think that you can necessarily over-prepare for them. In terms of healthcare, we're already behind. We had what they call a bottleneck in terms of preparing the aging workforce. So for nurses, there aren't as many nursing educators to prepare the next wave of nurses that we're going to need in the job market. So that has slowed down the number of people who can get into those programs. The benefit of that is that we have the ones going into nursing school being the top of their class. They have their pick. We also see this happening in social work. We see this in a lot of the allied health sciences. And definitely even within medicine, we don't have nearly enough geriatricians to meet the needs that we're going to be facing. I will say that Atlanta does seem to be in good shape there, just with the with Emory and some of the other institutions who are rapidly training the healthcare workforce.
You talked about the education need. What are some of the infrastructure areas that you can see where we need to catch up?
We need to catch up in terms of education retraining programs, because many of the folks after the age of 65 aren't necessarily going to want to be fully retired. It's time for their encore career. So in order to be able to do that, they need to be able to obtain new skills. We see this in like the Cincinnati region and some of the other cities where they have a lot of community colleges or technical schools. I know that there are some of that going on in Georgia, but we need to be prepared to help them gain new skills so that they can continue to be employed, even if it's on a part-time basis.
And all of this brings up the question of money, because the services that are going to be required in a lot of cases will require government spending. The state, for instance, is trying to lure seniors who have money with tax breaks. So is this a kind of policy that can be self-defeating in the end?
I don't think so. No, I don't believe this is a self-defeating policy, in part because these residents are going to have with them supplemental health care insurance policies that can help offset some of those costs. With those tax breaks that they receive, that gives them a little bit more discretionary spending to use within the community and also for travel. It's also possible that they will have family members who are going to want to come in to see them. I think they're going to actually bring in more revenue than they're going to take away in terms of what the government is spending.
But we do have some catching up to do in other areas.
We do.
Dr. Ewan, thanks so much for talking to us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.